Welcome to the Immigrant Entrepreneurs Show, where our mission is to inspire, impact, and influence other immigrant entrepreneurs to follow their dream and create the future they want. My guest today is Arturo Patuzzo, the founder and owner of D&A Land Investments. Arturo, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ali. Thank you very much for having me here. It's an honor and a pleasure, really.
Absolutely. Thank you for making the time. So Arturo, tell us or tell our audience, I know quite something about you. Please tell our audience where you are located and then we will get into the nitty-gritty.
Okay, so I am Italian and at the moment I am in Rome. I live in Rome I work here actually, and from here also I operate my real estate business.
Gotcha. So your real estate business is in the US. You
Yes.
invest in real estate in the US. So, but before we get to your business, I also want to discuss about a little bit what you have a very unique, actually, I would say, professional and personal life. So
Yeah.
you're a commander, Italian Navy commander. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. I've been serving in the Navy, Italian Navy, since 1993, when I joined the Naval Academy, which is the equivalent of, for the U.S. audience at least, is the equivalent of Annapolis in the U.S. They have the Naval Academy there. So I became an officer and I left the academy in 1997. And since then, I started to work in operations all around. And in the last, now I've been in Italy for the last three years. I came back from abroad in 2021. The previous 10 years, I've been more or less always abroad between Egypt and Turkey and you know, other places, which I like. And it kind of working with so many people from all over the world and other contingents, US in particular, but also Canadian and also incredible ones like Fijians, New Zealand, Australians. Like made me open my mind on, you know, a lot of cultures and ways of see things. And so I consider me being quite an open-minded person, ready to absorb every point of view and every culture. And this is more or less what one of my little superpowers, let's say.
Right. That is very impressive. And, you know, I always say in being around people in the US that are entrepreneurs, but they also have their history or their background is some of them have been ex-military. I always say, man, you are very well equipped for entrepreneurship if you have a history in being military before. So what do you think about that?
Definitely. Besides being open-minded, there are actually a few in my niche. I work in the real estate business in the niche of land investing. And I know that Alicia Jarrett was at this podcast. Alicia is an amazing and way better than me real estate investor. And there are actually, in our niche, there are actually someone is a former Army or Navy officer, so served in the armed forces in the US. Someone else is still active duty. But what is like a common ground between everyone that has served or is serving in the armed forces and decided to do business in real estate, but I think that this can be applied to whatever business, is for sure this being very, very much open to alternatives. So things you need and you learn to think out of the box. And this is a very cool thing. Another thing is we have a very, very profound sense of the team and the group. So we take care of each other. And this can be very useful when you have people working. I don't want to say, I normally don't like to say working for me, because mm-hmm. I work together with my team for common cause. Mm-hmm. And another thing that is probably the most important is the discipline. We have been taught to be very disciplined and committed, and I mean, mission first, right? So it's that we need to get to the finish line. And in a way or another, we always get.
And I believe also problem solving is one thing. Another thing that is very common in entrepreneurship, but also I assume it's the same thing in military, is when you face problems or issues, or you get setbacks, you know, hey, okay, this thing happened, now we have a problem, we need to solve it somehow.
Yes, it's actually, I was talking about this with a person I know. I have developed like a skill when everything, and that I think that comes, I'm sure that comes from the military, when things get very messy around, there is people who panic, and there is people who start to think more clearly. So you think, it's like if you see the things going slow motion and you say, okay, I need to do this now. So you are you are comfortable being uncomfortable, let's say. And this is something that in stressful situations, like it can happen, you know, during an entrepreneurial journey, and it's more or less quite a common thing. It's a skill that is very, very valuable. So to learn how to manage the stress and to manage the challenges, this is very important.
So Arturo, do you think that, you know, being calm and having not panicking, do you think that is a skill that you can learn, or is that something that you either have or don't have?
I think you can learn it. I think you can learn it, but you need to find yourself. Once you need to find yourself in that situation where you can exercise, and you need to do it more, like it's like to go to the gym. You need to find yourself in that situation more times to develop that muscle, right? And another thing is you need someone probably to guide you. So when there is like a stressful situation and you are in this learning phase where you face this situation for the first time, you need someone to show you, okay, you need to be calm, because this is going to be fixed. And if you're calm, you find a solution. If you panic, you get it worse. And this is, as I was saying, this is very much applicable both to the military life in certain situations as much as in what can happen in the entrepreneurial journey. So,
thanks for sharing that. So, Arturo, tell us about, you know, how you got into entrepreneurship. While, I mean, you're working full time, you're traveling the world, and then you're like, okay, I'm bored. And you're hitting the gym, obviously, I can tell from your pictures, you know, you almost look like a bodybuilder, maybe even fitter than many bodybuilders. And then you're like, okay, let me also do some business in the US while I'm not in the US. How did that happen, man?
Okay, so first of all, I was working out way more before I started my business, but I am trying to get back on track. Besides this, how did I start the business and why the US? So I started the business because I make like one step back. I run some rentals in Italy, very few, like some rentals. I've always had this sparkle or like kind of real estate geek. That was not enough, in the sense that in Italy, I realized it was not like a scalable business. It was very difficult to scale. Yeah, you can get your rentals, but if you want to grow, that's not very, very easily doable. And at that time, I had a very small amount of money to save, like probably $5,000 or so. I met a guy, Emmanuel, that today is a partner in one of the companies that I have. He taught me. He never did any land at that time. Probably he did some land, but he was like working mainly with tax deed and tax liens, so auctions. So he was buying assets in the real estate through auctions. And he taught me how to do auctions online, being in Italy. I tried. It was not very successful. It didn't resonate to me. Probably was not very good at that. But at the same time, you know, the weird algorithm of YouTube showed me a video from who's been my first mentor about land flipping, who is Seth Williams. And it's a 20 minutes video, land flipping life cycle. And I couldn't help falling in love with that business model. I said, this is what I need. It looked very simple. And it looked like something that could be definitely taken care of from everywhere in the world. So the idea of being a nomad entrepreneur in real estate is something that to the most could sound like that it's not possible. You know, when you think about nomad entrepreneur, you think about crypto, dropshipping, you know, this kind of activity. But actually with land in particular, you can do it from whenever you want, because you don't have to go and take care of roofs, windows, tenants, toilets. There is a hurricane hitting Florida. If I have a house, I want to go there and see how my house is. I'm concerned about my house. The land is there and nothing is going to happen to it. So this resonated with me very much. And I say, okay, let me try. So I bought the course from Seth. I started the course. And before I finished the course, I had bought my first properties in Arizona and sold. It was a profitable deal, but not as profitable as it could have been with more experience, but was still profitable. So I said, you know what? It works. And the rest is history. So I started to do it. And of course, ups and downs, because like every business, there are moments where it goes well and, you know, it goes less well. It's very difficult in land investing to go bad if you do the things properly. But and then transition in quite a short time to bigger deals. Today I just try to do bigger deals. Profit wise at least.
So, but you know, when I listen to you, when I hear you speak, it sounds everything very simple, but also easy and straightforward. You know, which I believe is not. So, and you know, putting everything aside from the business, man, you have a full time job. Number one. Is not just a job that you do like 9 to 5 and then done. No, I call it a high performing job. Okay. But then also you're in a different time zone, you know? So when people in the US get up or they start the day, it's almost half a day is gone. So tell us more about that, man. How do you manage all of this?
What they say, I think it was Jordan, is, if you want to do something, you find a way. Otherwise, you find an excuse, right? So, yes, it has its challenges, but it all comes to, do you really want to do it? Nobody forces you to do anything, right? I think we have an obligation towards ourselves. I feel like I have an obligation also towards my son to show him that you have to chase your dreams, what you want to become, not because you necessarily will become that version of yourself or will get your goal, but because you need to be a better person every day. My worst nightmare is at the end of my journey, my life, to look back and see I could have done that, that I didn't do that. That is way worse than not say I did it, it didn't work, you know, at least in my opinion. And I want to pass this to my son. I think it's the most important thing. And the best way to pass it is not just to tell him, but to show him that I live my life based on this thing that I learned actually not very early. I just learned like since I started this this entrepreneurial journey. Now the time zone is tough, not as tough as for Alicia, who is in Australia, because actually when I finish my military job, that is like late afternoon, normally standard time if there are no crazy things, then it's depending on where I work, but it's between lunchtime and morning in the US, depending if you're in the East Coast or West Coast. So actually it's work, because I come here after one day at work and I have to start another day at work.
Exactly.
But I finish at like midnight, you know, and every day normally. And I wake up very early in the morning. I try to hit the gym, and then I go to my military job. So I wake up like 4:30 in the morning. I sleep like 5 hours per night max. So that is difficult, the time zone, but is not impossible for sure. And actually, is something that sometimes I think that if I was living in the US, probably it wouldn't be. Yeah, I would have more time because, of course, I work at the same hours as the US. But I don't know. I feel like. It's difficult to explain, but I feel like if I feel like I'm working, I'm putting some work, and I want to say struggling for something, I am more motivated to do it, right? If it comes too easy, it's like, okay, you know what? Yeah. So it's something that after a while you get also used a little bit to the rhythm and this kind of stuff. Besides, I have a team of people who helps me when I go to bed. I have actually a manager in the US near Tampa in Indian Shores that takes care of all the admin, the mail that arrive and sent to me, and I see the day after. So the office is open, you know, American hours. I have people taking the calls that is set on, they are not Americans, but their time schedules is set on US time, Eastern time. So we can manage. It's very important to be organized. Besides being committed, you need to be organized, because if you're not organized, it's going to be messy.
And how often do you go and, you know, see the team and check the business, like physically going to the US?
Okay, so so far a couple of times, 2-3 times a year. Now I'm planning to go in May. I will be in Florida. And after I will go to the LendUn conference, which is one Lend event in Minneapolis. And then we will have an event in Rome in October where actually investors will come here. And as soon as I finish that on the 23rd, and on the 24th, I will fly to Vegas for another Lend event. I mean, a mastermind that I have with a group there. I will stay probably there like 1 week or 10 days just to enjoy US, and then I will come back. So at the moment, a couple of times, but I would like to do it more. The problem is that not having a visa, you know, you cannot stay more than 3 months, and it's not that you stay 3 months, you go back in Italy one day and you come back. And I also have obligations here, of course.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess people watching this show or listening to the episode are like, okay, Arturo, explain to us. Was there no business in Italy that you decided to do business from Italy in the US, or what was the reason?
Yeah, it's understandable. There is a lot of people asking me, so that's a great question. Now, actually, the thing is that, first of all, as I was mentioning before, real estate in Italian real estate is not exactly the simplest business that you can find. I don't want to say that in the US is simple, especially if you do houses, but it's having knowledge about a little bit about both. I can tell you that in the US, even in the current market, it's way easier than in Italy. Italy is a beautiful place, and if someone wants to buy a house on the Lake of Como, that is, you know, probably you heard about it being close to Switzerland, or you know, Tuscany, or it's wonderful. You take a house, you come here for the holidays, but to run a real estate business in Italy can be tough, and is not like the most profitable. Of course, there is people who is doing well, but it's way simple to do it in the US, and this is one reason. Other reason is bureaucracy. In Italy, there is this thing that is bureaucracy that is crazy. So, you know, it's you need to like to access to some public office, and you can go only in person on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And they give you a form, but you can bring it not earlier than 1 month from now. And it's crazy. It's something like that. And access to data is another thing. Our business is very much based on data and data quality. So access to data and the quality of data in the US is way, way, way better than Italy. In Italy, I have, and this is the truth, I have difficulties to get information about my own properties. So this is difficult. And another thing also is the lack of a real estate culture in Italy. You can find real estate, a few real estate investors, not many. And you know about them because not because of what they do in the real estate field, but because they sell some educational program, right?
So in Italy, like Italians in Italy.
Italians in Italy. So there are a couple of big names, but you know, they sell educational program about real estate, but you don't know exactly what they do or how they do. And they are very few. So there is not like a community. There is not like a culture about real estate. In the US, depending on the niche where you want to go, you can find, and now I'm talking about my niche that I know better, the land community, independently from what educational program you come, it's very much like we help each other. So if you, and this is also the power of the social media. Social media are a great thing today. And it depends on how you use it. It's like a pistol or rifle or a knife, right? It can be a great thing or can be a horrible thing. And I use my social media platforms mainly for business, almost exclusively. So is you can connect with people. You can meet on internet attorneys. You can meet CPAs. You can meet. I met you on internet.
That's right. Absolutely.
We can meet a lot of people from all over the world, and this is something that is phenomenal, and it's a big. You can leverage this internet presence and create a network that is going to play, at your advantage in your business. This kind of support, this kind of belonging to a group of like-minded people is something that identity there is not this thing. There is not, because there is this lack of culture about real estate. So all these reasons took me to the US. Besides, there is also taxation is way more convenient in the US through an LLC. To open a company in the US is extremely simple. In Italy, it is not exactly simple, but there are a bunch of reasons.
Okay. So when I was seeing what you put on your social media account, and one thing that you did was you had the project, or still have it, I want to hear more about that you were teaching Italians how to invest in land in the US, basically what you started with. Is that, yeah, are you still doing that? Is that something,
yes,
you're...
Yes, I have this. Actually, I don't consider myself like, I am very far from being a guru. I am not. I just had a bunch of people interested in what I was doing, because we are very few of this from out of the US. I know other Europeans. I know some other Italians. But in Italy, I think we are really, really, really few. And so I wanted to connect with more people, to have more people doing what I'm doing. And it's also not only for the sake of let's go and work together and conquer the US. It's not, this is not the case. It's just because when you work with people that has your same background, speak your same language, has probably your same values, culturally speaking at least, it might be easier also to create a network, to work together, to create some partnership, to learn from each other. Because we, not necessarily, but it's easy that we think in the same way if they are also into business, right? Because we are talking about business-minded people that speak the same language and, you know, eat the same food and have the same culture. So I decided, okay, I do this. Why not to have a bunch of people? So I don't, I am not like an educator. I just tell you, this is what I do. Mm-hmm. And if you want to do it, I mean, we can do it together, and I can show you how to do it. So I'm far from being an educator. I'm far from being a guru. I'm just an operator, and who is available to show to others how to do the job. I don't want to say that is the best way to do it, but for me it worked and is working. So that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I experienced myself is, and we all entrepreneurs experience it, entrepreneurship is also very lonely sometimes. It can be a very lonely journey. Okay.
Yes.
Now you're also doing something that basically no one else does, which makes you even more unique and maybe also more lonely, because you're doing something from the other side of the world in the US that nobody does. So how do you deal with that, being a lonely journey, but also from somewhere that you're basically one of the few who does it?
You know, there is, I put a post on a story on Instagram because it hit me very hard and positively, because I found myself in that video. That was, I think, Chris Willis talking in a podcast with Alex Hormozi, right?
Right.
In an interview. And he was saying, now I paraphrase because I don't remember exactly, but he said, if you want to be exceptional, right, you are going to go through a phase, essentially, where the people will say you have changed, and you will feel like this external discomfort, because people will see change where you know that is grow, but they don't understand. And otherwise, the alternative is to fit with what the other wants for you. But in that case, you would feel like an internal discomfort, because that is not you. So you have to pick one. and I decide to pick what I want to be. And I'm okay with paying the price of having a lonely journey, and living this, what I think to be like a temporary phase, essentially, also because you lose some friends that wants you or see you in a certain way like you were before, but you are going to have other friends that are more like they fit the way that you are now, the way that you are become. So if you accept the change is and the fact of being lonely for a while, or the risk to be lonely for a while, it's okay. But this is very personal. I mean, if you cannot deal with being lonely and doing the thing and being able to say, no, I cannot get out this weekend because I have to work, I cannot drink because I have to wake up early tomorrow morning, probably this is not a journey, and which is not bad. It's just there is people who is made for it and people who is not.
Absolutely. And I also believe, whoever, for basically anyone who wants to get into entrepreneurship and they're thinking about it, you should be honest to yourself. It might not be for you, if you want to have all the birthday parties and all the weekends and all the dinners and going out with friends and stuff, then if you enjoy that, go do that. Go do more of that,
I totally agree. And there is it depends on what your goals are, and what is your idea of, as I was mentioning before, my idea of continuous improvement makes me easy to go in that direction and to be focused on where I want to go. But if you don't have this same idea and you don't look for continuous improvement, or probably for you, continuous improvement is something else that I probably cannot even understand, it's totally fine. It's, it's just probably these people is not even listening to your podcast now. So.
Right. They have tuned out already.
But it's people who is like into business, like you are, like I am, they understand.
Arturo, obviously, being a commander at Italian Navy, that is not nothing, you have yourself worked decades to get here. I assume at some point you make a decision to, okay, I don't know what it is. Is it admiral, which is basically general, the next level? And then at some point you decide, okay, am I going to be like the highest I can get, or am I going to go my entrepreneurial journey? Because I believe you cannot do both at the same time. Tell us more about that. What was your factor that you decided to go whichever route you tell us?
So at the moment, I am doing both just because I'm able to do both, right? But I am at a point now where my business is growing slowly but steadily. I think that I will have to take a decision at some point soon. I like my military job. Also, that one, ups and downs, depending. The good thing of my military job is that you don't stay in a place and in a job for a too long time. So you can like it, and after 3-4 years, you go away and you're sad, and or you are frustrated, or you don't like it. And after 3-4 years, you go away and it's good. So you never know how it's going to go. But in general, I am very grateful for my military job. So the idea to leave the Navy hurts in a way, because I am a Navy officer. If you think about it rationally, which I tend to take choices that are data driven, right? So if I look at numbers, it's okay. So I probably should go. know, it's something like that. So is at the moment I am considering a few options. We discussed this before. I am also looking at the possibility to get an E2 visa. And in that case, of course, I would have to make the choice and move to the US, which is, I mean, E2 visa is not very easy for an Italian. There is some quite big investments to do just to take the visa, because the real estate business, unless it's like very, very big real estate business, giving a lot of work to a lot of Americans, is not eligible for E2 visa. So E2, for those who don't know, may not know, is the entrepreneurial business, the entrepreneurial visa for people who is looking away for staying in the US for an extended period of time. But at some point, I think that, I mean, my dream is to move to the US. And at some point, I know I will make it happen. Now, there is also to say that there are other things to consider. I have my son here, for example, but he is like 23 years old now, almost 24, is studying university in another place. But when you take this decision, it's just like a little bit of, I want to say you cut like what you were before, because you always bring your experience and your feelings, and but it's like a big leap of faith, right? So you move there. I'm not talking about profitability of business, because that is going to be better. I talk about you change your life completely. So you go there, it's a new world, and you know that it's the good thing to do, but it's one more thing to think. So at the moment, I am still able to make it work from here. But yeah, at some point, I think it would be necessary for me to take this decision and make the step.
Thanks for sharing that, man. I totally relate to that. You know, I also believe that you will get sooner or later, you will get, and depending on how you treat your business and how you value your business, like how important is it in your life, which is obviously very important in your life, you will get to a point that you have to decide, you know, am I going to go and jump off the cliff and make this thing as big as I wanted to make, and I do whatever it's necessary to do, you know? Does it mean I have to move to the US? Okay, let me do it. Does it mean I have to leave friends and maybe some family here where I live? Yeah, then let's do it, you know? That's basically what we did. And I'm grateful that I have a wife who supported me to do that when we decided to move to the US, because otherwise, I would not have been able to do it.
You know, that there is this philosophy. It's also the title of a book that probably you read. If not, I suggest to read it. Is Ready, Fire, Aim, right, by Michael Masterson.
Yeah.
And but essentially, I mean, that is very business oriented. But the idea of Ready, Fire, Aim is, you know, take action. And even if it is the wrong action, it's still better than not taking any action. So if you don't do anything and you stay here, you think probably I should do it, probably I should do it, probably I should do it. You will arrive at the point that you will not have done it. You could have done it before. While take the action, so get to the breaking point, right? You will find an obstacle. And once that you find the obstacle, you find a way to overcome the obstacle. So I embrace very much this philosophy. So yeah, it's not like something necessarily easy to do, but it's something that I need to do at some point pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. And I always say, if it was easy, anyone would do it.
Everyone would do it. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
All the Italians would be in the U.S. doing land business. So
yeah,
it's
right.
Not easy, but if it's for you, then you just do it. Right. Arturo, what has been the biggest lesson since you got into entrepreneurship?
For me, I have actually. If I could talk to the younger me, I would try to emphasize the importance of time. You know, time is like, I understood the importance of time since I started my entrepreneurial journey, for many reasons. One's because you understand that 24 hours, you need to squeeze everything. Once that you have kind of two jobs, you know, you have to squeeze and make every minute valuable. And another thing is, and this is something that I also talked to my son about it. when time is like a stock, but differently from stock, you already know that the value, so the trend of it, because normally, what happens is that the older you get and the expectation of life is less, and scarcity makes value, which means that time, when you are an adult or an old person, is generally more valuable. Then you give more value to time, right? So you say, okay, I need to do this thing because objectively you have less time to live, right? So you need to do things. And when you are young, you don't think about it. Because you have a lot of time. So you don't understand that if you could allocate the real value to the time instead of wasting it and doing things that, you know, are useless, essentially, you would have such a competitive advantage when you are adult compared to other kids who wasted their time that you cannot even imagine, you cannot comprehend. So the power of understanding the value of time is something that is very valuable. So give value to your time and as soon as you can. I don't say that necessarily you don't need to waste time when you're young, because it's, you know, it's okay. I mean, you're young, you need to have fun, whatever fun means for you, but you need to understand that now is the time that I can already start to grind and create something for myself and for my future tomorrow. This is pretty, pretty important. Mm. Another thing is I learned to kind of forgive myself, right? It's always connected, associated to this ready, fire, aim. So you take action. You cannot assume that it will be the right action, which is okay, because growth, it's made of a series of mistakes and learnings from those mistakes. So you learn the lesson and you will do another mistake another time, but you will likely not do the same that you did this time. So if you make a mistake, it's okay. It means that you're growing. So you don't have to be frustrated or to blame yourself for a mistake that you made in your business. And another thing that business told me and that I would emphasize to the younger myself is think big. Mm. Because it's, there is I think the name was Norman Vincent Peale. He is the author of, Thinking Big or The Power of Thinking Big. I didn't read that book, actually, but he said something, and I paraphrase also this, shoot to the moon. The worst that can happen is that you will land among the stars, right? So is you if you think big, probably you will not arrive there, not necessarily, but you will arrive close enough. And that is already very, very good. So these are the three things, value of time, forgive yourself, and learn to think big too, and be ambitious, essentially. These are the three things that
I love that, man. Yeah. That is so powerful. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Arturo, if you had to start today and all you had was $1,000 to your name, what would you do?
Oh, that's a $1 million question. $1 million question. Well, if I had, I can tell you one thing is if I had $1,000, probably I would keep it for myself. I would not spend, because I don't think that you can do a lot of things with $1,000. If I didn't have anything else, probably I would buy a computer and an internet connection. But what I would do is absorb knowledge. There is such a big amount of free knowledge on the internet that someone, you have no idea. I don't even have a television. I have, you see this here, this one. This is a projector. I have a projector. I have a Roku stick. And all I watch is YouTube videos that I like YouTube universities talking about real estate, things about. And there are so much free content in the internet that you can really learn skills and apply. And you can connect with people and you can be available to help them. For nothing, just for the sake of learning from them, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't even need to ask them what they need. You just bring them something. And so this is what I think, and this is, I give it to you to, you know, use it if you can, and if you don't, just tell me why it's not working. And you do it, and probably someone will tell you, I don't need this, I don't want this. And it's the more you do, it's like marketing. You know, the more people you reach out at the end, you will find someone that is, okay, you know what? I like it, but blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You had to do this and this, and you learn and you take notes and you learn and you grow. Until at some point, you have probably the possibility in our business in real estate, you have the possibility to work as a deal hunter. So you find a deal, you learn how to find a good deal. For example, you bring the deal on the table of an investor who puts money and you split the profit. And once that you split the first profit and you have those 5, 6, 10,000, then we start to talk. And then you can start to do a little mail campaign, like little SMS campaign. Do marketing, grow, close your first business, your first deal. And then at the point, the profit is all yours. And from there, you scale. This is what I would do.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And you're definitely a true example. You know, Alex Hormozi said that actually in one of his interviews. He said, if you believe you're in a difficult situation, if you believe you have the excuses to not do something that you want to do, I guarantee you there is someone who could have more excuses than you have, who is in a more difficult situation and is doing more than you do. So you're a true example of this. You're working, you're a Navy commander in Italy. You're working different on a different time zone and you're making things move in the US. So if anybody has any excuses, guys, here is a true example to not have any excuses.
Yeah, you need to, and it's related to this. It's also that it's, still, Alex Hormozi, who I love that guy. I mean, Alex is my number one business model, like businessman model. He says that success is it doesn't care if you are man, woman, black, white, if you sit on a wheelchair or if you are an athlete, you're beautiful, you're fat. You're gay, you're straight, he doesn't care. All he cares is work. So you need to put in the work. If you work, you know, you you get the result. If you complain, you don't. So this is totally true. Another thing that I believe is that, and that motivates me, and I discussed this with some other land investors because that was going through some discouraging moment. I sent out this amount of marketing and didn't close a deal, which happened to me also, and still happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And what I say is, like you, there are a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to decide whether you want to be the one that quit, like probably a lot of other people is doing, or let them quit and you keep doing. I really believe when I feel like this is difficult, I never felt like I wanted to quit, but this is really difficult. I'm tired. I'm discouraged. Then this is always kind of, what we were talking about before, stressful situation. Then I always had the capacity to say, okay, so wait a minute. There are other people who is, living this thing. I don't want to quit. I want them to quit in case if they cannot deal with that, but I'm not quitting. I have to move on. So I think that this is something that needs to, always work, and you will see the result of your work. I mean, there is no doubt about it. You just need to overcome the difficulties, and this is all here. It's nothing else.
Absolutely, that is so true. That is so true and so valuable. So, Arturo, I have one question for you, and this is my final question before we wrap up. I have never asked this question on a podcast, but also outside on a podcast.
You're scaring me, man. I'm a...
But I feel like I need to ask you this question because I wonder what your answer is going to be for my selfish reasons, and I'm going to ask it, okay?
Okay.
If... let's say after 100 years, after 120 years, the moment comes, you get a call from God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Arturo, today is the day. At midnight, you're done. Mm-hmm. I'm going to unplug you. You're going to go. This is the last day, my friend. And you're like, okay, God. And he's like, hey, but today... whatever you want to do, whatever you ask, everything and anything is possible. Okay? I'll see you at midnight. Bye. What would you do on that day?
Okay. I tell you the truth, and I know that it can sound like a little bit rhetoric, but I've lived and I've seen so... my work, my military job, gave me the opportunity to travel the world, see beautiful things, beautiful places, and see horrible things and see horrible places, right? So most of the time, the reason of this, of course, I'm in the military, was due to war, essentially. Probably past war that left a lot of people poor, and probably, wars that are ongoing. So if I could ask, and I'm going to die, something for the others at that point, because it's not for me anymore, because I'm going to start another journey. It would be just to stop everything that is war related. War is really, really a stupid thing. I mean, it's totally stupid. And the thing that hits me the most is that I don't remember where or when I heard this, but this is so true. Is war is fought between people who don't even know each other because of other people that sits on some other chairs that don't like each other. And there was a nice interview to the guy that killed Osama bin Laden, who is a Navy SEALs from the SEAL team number 6, that now is retired. He's on Instagram. And he said when he killed Osama bin Laden, he went in, and Osama bin Laden was with the child and with one of his wives. Mm-hmm. He put away the wife and the child and killed Osama bin Laden with 3 shots. Mm-hmm. But first of all, he has the picture of the kid in his head still now, every day.
Wow.
And second is now he realized that he's out from that game, Navy SEAL, and he's like a civilian. He realized that in another context, you know, Osama bin Laden has been raised with some values that are totally different from the values of the Navy SEALs. But in another context, probably in a parallel universe, he and bin Laden are best buddies and are drinking in some cafe, coffee, and talking about their families. So it's just the circumstances of life that brings people to, you know, kill each other or start a war or do some crazy things like this. So if I could ask one thing, it would be just to stop every war. It would be just a way better war than from every point of view. Everyone could benefit from it.
Thank you for sharing that, man. Thank you. Arturo, it's been a pleasure for myself, but I'm truly honored also for our audience to have such an amazing person like yourself on the show. Share all the things that you shared. I really, really, really thank you for coming on, taking the time. I know you're a very busy guy, taking the time and coming here and sharing everything that you told our audience. So, yeah, man, thank you. For coming
thank
on.
You to you, Ali. It's been a real pleasure. I hope to meet you in person at some point in Switzerland or in the US, but it will happen.
Absolutely. I'm very confident that it will happen. So once again, thank you. All the best in your all endeavors in the Navy or in the land investment. And I look forward to seeing you one day.
Thank you, Ali. Thank you. Bye.